Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this day that you've given us. Thank you for all the amazing sessions that we've heard so far. So much to take in, but Lord, we know that you're in all of these details. I pray that you will be with us right now for the next half hour. Help me to say something that will help these ladies to maybe go back to their churches and implement in their Sunday school classes, ways that we can help the children that are sitting in our Sunday school classes every Sunday to draw closer to you. I pray that you will calm my nerves. Pray that the message that I have to share, the words that I have, will be clear to those that are here to listen. We love you and thank you. And I pray amen. So let me first of all explain who I am. Most of you in here know who I am. My name is Danielle Beerley. I am the fifth and sixth grade teacher here at Central Christian Academy. I have been teaching in Christian schools for 23 years now. This is my 23rd year. I know I look really young for my age. But not only I've taught first grade, I've taught third grade, I've taught fifth grade, and I've taught fifth and sixth grade. And so I, in all of those years as well, starting in my teenage years and then going through college, and even to this day, I have worked in a lot of different Sunday school classes. And so for all age groups, I've been with special needs students. I've been with the little K-4 and K-5 kids. Right now I work with our teens. So I've literally been all over the map. This session today will mostly be about elementary age, going from K-4 to sixth grade. I'm not going to use, I know the description in the handbook or the guide was probably a little vague. I'm not going to use words like differentiated learning and chunking and multiple intelligences. It's not that kind. What I want to do is give some practical uses or some practical strategies that you can use when you go home or when you stand in your Sunday school classes, maybe things you haven't thought about. Please understand that everything that I'm about to say is not an end-all be-all. This is how you have to do everything. But it's really just my passion. I said one of my passions is that I want to set our kids up. I was not raised in a Christian home. I did not start going to church till I was 11 years old, and then I got fully involved into church when I was 13. And so I missed all of those formative years growing up. When I started going to church when I was 13, or really into the youth group when I was 13, I didn't know most of the Bible stories. I didn't know who David and Goliath were. I wasn't familiar with any of those. I wasn't taught any of that. And so being an elementary school teacher, I see the importance of setting up a foundation and building on that foundation every year so that when our children grow up into teenagers and grow up into adults, they have that foundation for learning and participating in church and church events. So that's what I want to talk about today. I believe all of this is done through building a foundation of both routine and Bible knowledge. I know that there have been a lot of classes today from learning with visuals. I'm not going to talk much about that. I will bring that up a little bit. But I know that there have been classes about setting up a Sunday school schedule. Mine might flow a little bit with that, but it's more along the learning guidelines in those, or how the children are able to learn at their different age levels. So I want to start out with a Bible verse: train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. That's Proverbs 22:6. And so I believe that's exactly what we're doing when we have children in our Sunday school classes. We are training them up. We are laying that foundation and training them for what they will become as they grow into the church and grow into church leaders and church adults themselves. Research suggests that the length of a child's attention span is calculated by multiplying their year in age, their age year, by 2 or 3. So when we're looking at K-4 and K-5 kids, we're looking at an attention span of only about 8 to 10 minutes. By the time you get up into my fifth and sixth grade years, they say it's supposed to be about 20 minutes. One of my sixth graders is sitting in here right now. But you can definitely make it a little bit longer, and there's more that you can do with your lesson at that age group. But we're going to start right now. Basically, we're going to start talking about K-4 and K-5. We're going to start at the bottom, and we're going to work our way up from there. I know our Sunday school lessons, our Sunday school classes, by the time you get the kids into the classroom, get them all settled down, and you get started, you really only have about 40 minutes. And so that seems like a huge chunk of time when you're talking about, you know, K-4 and K-5 kids who can only really sit still for 8 minutes. what do I do for the other 32 minutes of my class? And so that, those are kind of, like I said, those are the lines that I want to talk along, is what we do and how we help those children become the best that they can be. So like I said, everything that I'm about to say, I follow basically five sets. We talk about prayer requests and praises, songs, Bible verse memorization, and then the Bible lesson. So there's kind of four sections. And like I said, you may not do some of these. These may not be everything that you guys do. These may be things that you want to start implementing, but these are just, like I said, talking points. So let's go ahead and look at the K4 and K5. We're looking at, in K4 and K5, like I said, their attention span is only about 8 to 10 minutes, if that sometimes. We know that with TV and video games and having cell phones in front of them, that can drastically shorten their attention span because it's just constantly quick going all the time. So you'll have to kind of monitor that and adjust your timing to all of that. So let's go to prayer requests and praises. I think this is sometimes can be a section that we overlook a lot, because when we look at K4 and K5 kids, if you've ever asked them, what is something we can pray about? And usually be like, my dog, you know, which they can be a serious prayer request to them, but they don't always think about things like that. And so when going through with your K4 and K5, help them. You're training them how to pray. You're training them how to praise God. And so we know, so in my list here, I talk about knowing your students and their families. If it's all church kids in your church, in your Sunday school class, you know their parents. Maybe mom is pregnant. Maybe mom is expecting a baby. Maybe I was just thinking about this the other day, last Sunday night, I believe it was, one of our church families was on the way to church and they got a flat tire. So grandpa had to leave the church service to go pick up the two youngest, and they're about three and four. And as soon as they got into church, we got a flat tire, and that's all they could talk about. And so to them, things like that might be a big deal. So they know things like mom is having a baby, or they're gonna travel soon, grandma's coming to visit, these different things, and you can turn those in. Okay, well, let's pray for grandma. And you can teach them how to pray along those lines. And you can talk, well, so anybody have a prayer request? And then nobody raises their hand because they have no idea what you're talking about. And you can say, hey, Lydia, your mom's having a baby, right? So why don't we pray for mom? Has mommy been sick at all? And you can, and you get on their level and you talk to them. And that's how you teach them how to pray. So they start recognizing that right off the bat. You teach them to pray for parents. We teach them to pray for our teachers, whether it's their school teachers or their Sunday school teachers. We can teach them to pray for our pastors and our pastors' wives, our church leaders, and we can definitely teach them to pray for the leaders of our country. They may not know who Joe Biden is, but they might understand a little bit because they hear it from their parents or from other people who a president is. And we can explain, the president is the man who leads our country. He's probably the most important person in our country, and we need to pray for him every day. And so you teach your K4, you teach your K5 children how to pray, and you start building that foundation. When we talk about songs, so like I said, your K4, K5, they've only got about an 8-minute attention span. So when I think about teaching a K4 or K5 class, I think about continual songs. All right, starting your class off, everybody stand. Let's sing Jesus Loves Me. And you get them all together at that one time, and that's how you start your class. You have them all together in one mind, and everybody sings. Okay, now let's sit down and let's talk about our prayer requests. And then, all right, let's stand and sing another song. And you just have them, and it's getting their little bodies moving because they need that action. Use visuals. If you have them, you can make them. I know that I'll talk about Abeka. Abeka has a lot of great homeschool materials. They have a lot of great song visuals. You can get those off of like Christian book distributors. Google those and they'll have these amazing, they've got them. I used to love them in third grade and first grade, using them when I would teach Christmas songs or just any Bible song that I was teaching in class. Introduce hymns. And yes, we expect your 4-year-old to hold a hymn and be able to sing, you know, the doxology. No, but you can introduce them to, oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. And it's a very simple chorus, and they can catch on. And they're learning their hymns at a very young age. You can also teach them doctrinal songs. There's an awesome song that I love to sing. It's called Little Child's Belief. I use it a lot in my first grade class. And it's talking about, I believe in God the Father, who made us every one, who made the earth and heaven, the moon and stars and sun. And it goes through the Father, it goes through God the Son, and it goes through God the Spirit, and it teaches them the Trinity, the doctrine of the Trinity, and how we worship them. So even in K-4 and K-5 at very young ages, you can teach them doctrinal truths about who God is. Going on to Bible verses. This can be a little harder. I know I'm blessed in my classroom. We have Bible every single day of the week. So every day of the week, we're going over our Bible verses. It's a little bit different when you have them in Sunday school because you only get them for about those 40 minutes every week. And this is where I know our fifth and sixth grade Sunday school teacher, Mrs. McKeever, she does a newsletter every week with her class. Now, I would say maybe do a monthly newsletter. And in that newsletter, you can send home, you can give it to the parents, and it has the Bible verse. This is the Bible verse we're working on this month. And they can put that up on their refrigerator, and they can go over the Bible verse with their children every week or every day. And then they start to learn it. And you're giving them small, short Bible verses. John 3:16, we all know that one. That's one of the foundational Bible verses. Romans 3:23. And we can give them short ones, and if we're going over it every week, in about a month, they should be able to know it. I will also point out that the best idea too is while you're doing Bible memory time is to also review verses that they've learned before. Never let those fall by the wayside because, again, attention spans. We forget it if we don't review it. And so take a little time, 2 minutes. All right, let's review last month's verse and bring out your Bible visual and show that to them and say it with them, lead them in it, and then go over your new Bible verse with them. And that will really help. It's a repetition that will help the K-4 and K-5 kids because obviously at this point, they haven't quite learned how to read yet. In your Bible lesson, you want to use a lot of excitement. And here I want to say, in my opinion, I will admit this is my opinion, I feel like in the younger grades going from K-4 and even up into third and fourth grade, I feel like a lot of your focus should be on the Bible stories. I know there are so many great, I was talking to some of the ladies when we were planning our Sunday school meeting. When I used to do chapel down in my school in Florida, it would be my turn to do chapel. There are these books from Aunt Carolyn, and she does, it's Frankie Fish Learns to Obey. And you've got this beautiful fish, and you're talking about how his mother told him to never eat worms, never trust a hook because it'll get you. And Frankie Fish thought he knew better than mommy, so he went and he nibbled on this worm, and then all of a sudden, bam, he got hooked by that fish. Those are great stories for every once in a while. Like I said, chapel stories, I think those are great, but I feel like in a Sunday school setting, especially starting at the younger ages, we want them to understand who David and Goliath are and what David did, what God was able to do through David. We want to talk about Samuel, and there are so many lessons that it'll take years to cover all of them. And so I really, like I said, that's my opinion. I'm going to put that plug in there. I think that sticking with the Bible stories at the very young ages is probably the best avenue. Regularly weave sin and salvation into your Bible lessons because you want that going through their mind all the time. Now, I always had a hard time when I taught first grade. I never wanted to push a child to make that decision. And so I was very careful in dealing with children when it came to salvation. I would talk to parents. I would talk to my principal. I would have multiple conversations with people because I never wanted a child to make, I made a fault. When I was 11, I went forward in church and made a profession of faith, but I had no idea what it was and I didn't understand. I just knew everybody else was doing it. And it wasn't until I was 18 years old, my freshman year of college, after I'd gone soul winning on a Thursday night, I knelt down and I talked to my roommate and I was like, I'm telling all these other people about salvation and I don't even know if I'm saved. And so I ended up getting assurance of my salvation. So I'm very careful. I definitely want the parents to be in on that conversation, especially if they're good church members that understand all of that. You might be dealing with bus kids and the parents may not understand everything you're talking about, but I still think it's a good idea to talk to them about that. But always regularly weave sin and salvation into all of those stories starting from a young age, because I do know people out there. Is there anybody in here who made a profession of faith when they were really young? How old were you? Do you mind if I ask? So K-5, I know that there are some people that can tell you they were 4 and they can give you the whole story of exactly how they got saved. And so it's a very big decision that they can make at a young age. Be careful, obviously, to focus on age-appropriate applications when you're, like I said, when I talk about explaining the events and characters that happened to a 4 and 5 year old, you can talk about how David was this young Jewish boy. His father sent him to where his brothers were at war with the Philistines. There was this big, mean giant. But I don't think you want to go into detail with 4 and 5 year olds about how David later took the sword of Goliath and chopped Goliath's head off. They might start with nightmares after that. You want to be age appropriate in how you're telling some of these stories. I teach 5th and 6th grade. I told you we taught through the book of Judges. So I had to go through the story of Jael putting a tent spike through Sisera's head, and I have to be careful of that because, and I'll get to that later if I get there, I had to be careful of that because these kids now are raised on these video games and TV and movies. And so for them, their takeaway is, hey, what'd you learn at school today? There was this lady who put a tent spike through. And so you've got to be careful too, how you present all of that, because you don't want that to be the main focus, obviously, of your story. So that's how I would handle with the K4 and K5. Going on to 1st and 2nd grade, their attention span is going to be about 12 to 14 minutes. Again, so along the same lines of prayer requests and praises, you're going to continue to help them along, recognizing them, helping them to recognize prayer requests that they might have in their life, things to praise God for. I will say, all through my Sunday school years, there's always we do it with our teenagers right now. We'll write on our whiteboard our prayer requests and praises. That prayer request list is so long. And then trying to get them to come up with praises, sometimes it's crickets. But you got to teach kids also. You need to teach children. Did you have a nice warm bed to sleep in last night? Can we praise God for that? Did you get a good breakfast this morning? Because even in the little things, we have to learn to praise God. Because when big things come our way, it can knock us completely off kilter, but we have to remember all those times that God has always provided for us. Songs, continue teaching fun songs. Continue with the hymn choruses. You may be able to, some of your songs introduce the first verse of a hymn in 1st and 2nd grade. So they're understanding that hymn knowledge. So then when they're sitting in church with their parents on a Sunday, they're like, hey, I know this song. And it lights up their eyes. I've watched it happen. You can also introduce songs that teach them information, like the books of the Bible. I put everything to a song in my classroom. So you've got the books of the Bible, you can teach them the 12 disciples, and then they'll know all of this. I'm 44 years old. I was sitting at church the other day, and Pastor Townsley is like, can anybody in here even name all 12 disciples? Yes, I can. Let me sing it for you. I did not get up and sing it in church, but I was like, I got this. And so even in 1st and 2nd grade, they can start to recognize that. And you're teaching them Bible information through songs. Sword drills. Now, do you expect a 1st or 2nd grader? All right, everybody hold your Bible up. Let's find Ezekiel 2:3. Go. No, but if you're teaching them the books of the Bible, and maybe you have separate age groups. I know here I think our 1st and 2nd grader together, are they not? At the end of a 2nd grade year, if you've been teaching them the books of the Bible, start using that to help them find them. All right, everybody, put your Bibles up. Sword drill, we're gonna do a sword drill. Find the book of Genesis. And just have them with a Bible in their hand so they're starting to learn just to find the books. And I think they should be able to do that by the end of their 2nd grade year. They should be able to start recognizing where the books are, and that will help them as they, like I said, sitting in church. Pastor doesn't always give you 15 minutes to find the Bible verse. Sometimes I'm going, wait, hold on a second, Bible verses. Here's where you can introduce a 3 or 4 month challenge. I know in the 1st grade, I'm going back to my classroom teaching. Again, I know it's different than Sunday school teaching, but in the 1st grade, Abeka curriculum for Bible class, they have them memorizing John chapter 3, verses 14 through 19. And for a 1st grader, that is a good chunk of Bible passage. We don't do it all at one time. All right, you got 1 week. Let's do this. But what you can do is over 3 or 4 months, you can take those chunks, break them up into smaller pieces, and then at the end, just keep adding to it every week. And maybe after 3 months, all right, who can say it? And they get a prize. There's ways for them to memorize, because that passage right there talking about, we know right in the middle of that is John 3:16, but it's talking about, even as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And it's such an amazing piece of scripture. I love that passage. And so you can introduce that to them and they can start learning it. And like I said, they can do it in 3 to 4 months. Introduce that challenge to them. Their Bible lesson, you're going to continue building on the foundation, learning the basics of the basic events and people in the Bible. Again, there are so many Bible stories that it will span 2 or 3 years sometimes. Focus on the age appropriate applications that they can get. I'm teaching through the book of Samuel right now. And I know for a first grader, if you're teaching through the book of Samuel in first or second grade, what's the one, anybody have any idea? I'm gonna ask a question and get myself in trouble. If you were teaching a first and second grader and you were talking about the book of Samuel, when Samuel first goes to the temple to stay with Eli, what do you think you could focus on there with them, Lydia? Obedience, because Samuel was sleeping and he hears Samuel, immediately he jumps out of bed, runs to Eli's room. Eli, what do you need? And Eli's like, go back to bed, kid. And finally, you know, but Samuel was quick to obey. And obviously, do first and second graders need those lessons on obedience? Absolutely. Going on to third and fourth grade, you're going to have 16 to 18 minutes of time here. Now, this is where, as they're coming into class, I would provide them with a piece of paper and a pen and say, can you think of a prayer request that you have this week? How about a praise? Can you write one down for us? And we'll share it at the beginning of class. And then you have them come in. As they arrive, have them write them down. Continue helping them find things that they can praise God for. Like I said, even the small and everyday things that we take for granted. And then, here's the cool part, you can start having them participate in the prayer time. You can have little index cards, or you can write down the prayer requests as the kids are speaking them, and you can write them down. You can say, okay, Lydia, once you come up here, you're going to pray for these three things. And Mrs. Townsley, Annette, you come up here and you're going to pray for these three things. And you have them start praying in class, because let's be honest, a lot of the times you write, bow your heads, close your eyes, and they go, have no idea, but you want them participating too. So you're actually, like I said, you're training them. And so now you're training them how to pray with you. And then you, as the teacher, you can pray overall at the end of that, but give them an opportunity to speak to the Lord themselves and not just always you. Oh, I meant to mention in K4 and K5 also, when it comes to prayer, pray simply. Dear blessed Heavenly Father, who art in heaven, you know, those are big. You don't want to use super big words and super, you know, super frivolous things. When I get it, when we pray on our own and how we talk to God, but we want, again, we're an example to them of how to pray. So we want to pray simply the way that they would, to help them understand, I can talk to God too. I can't talk like that, you know, so we want to teach them that they can talk to God too. Here, your songs, you're going to continue introducing more hymns. Like I said, the first verse, even Bible verse songs. We have a fun one that I love to do. We do it in our church. They don't do it as fun as I do it when I do chapel, but we do the A Merry Heart Doeth Good Like a Medicine. And we've got Merry Heart Doeth Good Like a Medicine. So you can actually teach them Bible verses too as a song as well. And so those are all ways that you can encourage them. It helps them in memorizing their Bible verses. Sword drills. Include maybe 2 or 3 verses each week. You know, this is where you can start giving them the, you know, do you want to go to Nahum chapter 1, verse 7? That might be a hard book to find, but you can start with Genesis or Matthew and make it the obvious books and help them to find them. And I said here, don't leave students behind. It can happen a lot where you have 1 or 2 students in your class who are very quick to find those verses. And they're like, all right, you read it. And the other kids are still going, I don't even know where that book is. So my suggestion here is, if you have, like, especially if you have a combined class, have a fourth grader who is very well versed does a great job in their sword drills, pair them up with a third grader to have them help them. You know, pair kids up and have them, all right, let's do this together. And then that helps them. They're not just, all right, well, I'm never going to find it anyways, so I'm done. Their Bible verses, again, start introducing longer passages to be learned each month. Proverbs 3:5-6. There's no reason a third and fourth grader can't memorize both of those verses in 1 month, even if it is just 4 weeks of Sundays. Their Bible lessons, this is where you can begin drawing out the deeper and more applicable life lessons. When we talk about David and Goliath, we can start talking about peer pressure and how, you know, David stood in everybody else, his brothers were like, you're a fool. Why are you going to go? You know what, David, why don't you just go home? You don't even know what you're talking about. And David said, no, I know who my God is. I know what my God can do. And that man, I don't care how big he is not going to talk about my God that way. And David stood up and went out there, and God blessed him for that. And so even in third and fourth grade, those life lessons can start to become applicable for them. In fifth and sixth grade, here it is. You have about 20 minutes of time with them. This, again, they should be able to do the prayer requests and praises. Continue to write them down, share the praises, and involve your students in the prayer time there with the rest of the class. Your songs. This is my favorite part. This is my pet project in my fifth and sixth grade class. A couple years ago, I found some very well-loved old hymnals in our music room that nobody was using. I was like, can I have them? So I have my class, my classroom set up. We do our pledges, we do a patriotic song, and I teach them all the patriotic songs that are in the hymns. We do all the verses. We pray, we have our school memory verse, which is Isaiah 40:31. We have our class Bible verse, and then we'll sing a hymn. And so I'll introduce the hymns to them. Sometimes I'll do the background to why the hymns were written, the story behind them. It is well with my soul. An amazing story to think about a man who had lost his family. And, you know, and he wrote as he's crossing that same spot, it is well with my soul. And just telling, look at all of these people who have come, because you're telling them about people who've come before, who have served God in spite of great adversity. And so it can be such an encouragement to them. And then, so I do two hymns each week, and I'll do verse one one day. I introduce the hymn to them if they're not familiar with it. I sing it for them. I'll sing it a couple of times. Then I'll have them sing that first verse with me. And then I start adding verses each day. All right, today we're going to do one and two. And sometimes I'll talk about the verses and what the verses mean. Let's look at this one, because sometimes they use pretty big words, don't they? And so I'll teach my students, all right, let's look at this verse. Let's talk about, what do you think this verse means? And sometimes those hymns can turn into a whole Bible lesson on their own sometimes. And so I think it's an amazing ability for us to teach our fifth and sixth graders how to use hymnals, so that when they're sitting in church, they don't just kind of flop it open and have no idea what they're doing. So that's my little pet project. It's what I love to do in my class. But I will say too, don't skip the fun songs. My kids still love getting up and doing, I will make you fishers of men. So I told you we do two hymns for each Bible lesson, but we also have a fun song in there that gets them up, and we do the love of Jesus and fishers of men. And I do Naaman with our dippy, dippy, dip song. And the kids still in fifth and sixth grade, listen, I love doing that when we're sitting in church and I'm an adult. You can continue with sword drills, giving them more and more, helping them find the more obscure books of the Bible, like Nahum and, you know, Ezra or, you know, Malachi. Bible verses, challenge your students with longer passages each month. Grow in their ability. Sometimes I feel like we think our kids can't do something. They're too young. But they can. They are capable of a lot more than we realize. And so pushing them to go forward. Their Bible lesson, pull out the deep meaning. I actually, like I said, I've been teaching through the book of 1 Samuel. So one of the things that I talked about this week, when I went with the story of Samuel and how Samuel first went to the temple and he was there with Eli, I talked about his sons, Hophni and Phinehas. Hophni and Phinehas were evil. The Bible actually tells us that they worked hard to turn people away from the Lord with the things that they did. They were so rebellious against God. And so I talked to them, and I told my kids, my students, we were talking about the curse that God proclaimed on Eli and his sons because of that. And why was Eli cursed? Because he wouldn't restrain his sons, because he didn't discipline them. And so we go into that discussion on, you know, we get mad when mom and dad discipline us. All right, you know what? You've gotten two tallies this week in class for talking. You don't have your video games this weekend. Oh, mom. And we can think our parents are unfair, but look at this. God cursed Eli and he lost. He died early because he wouldn't restrain his sons. He wouldn't discipline his sons. So God tells us as parents, as adults, that we need to discipline, that discipline is a must. And we can talk about all of that with our kids in fifth and sixth grade. They can understand that. Can they understand that at a fourth and fifth, 4 and 5 year old level? Not at all, but they can understand it now. And so we bring out those deeper meanings, search for those deeper meanings, what God can give you to teach them. This is also where I would suggest maybe doing the topical lessons. I know Mrs. McKeever, our fifth and sixth grade teacher, she does every other year, I believe, she does the Armor of God. And she has them actually make the armor of God out of construction paper and other things, and they make it. I'm teaching right now, our Bible verse right now, we just started I got like 1 minute. We just started John chapter 15. I took a picture of it because I wanted to share it. It says, I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. You know what I did? I started talking about the fruits of the Spirit. I took them to Galatians. That actually ended up being our whole lesson for that day. We went to the book of Galatians and we talked about if we're going to bear fruit, well, what is the fruit we're going to bear? Love, joy, peace. Do you bring peace to your house? Do you bring peace to your family? Do you bring peace to the classroom? Long-suffering, goodness, faith, meekness. We talk about kindness. We talk about right there, it says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. If you're not showing the fruits of the Spirit, then God's going to have to purge you. God is going to make it so that you do bear those fruits. And so we can talk about those. So you can start to get into those topical outlines along that. And that's actually, I was surprised I got to the end of that. But like I said, start with a foundation. You're laying that foundation from a very young age and build upon it every year. I really hope that was helpful. When I get nervous, I talk really fast. So I hope you guys listened really fast. I hope it was a blessing to some of you. And I appreciate you coming in here. I hope you enjoy the rest of your afternoon. Now we have a general session. Thank you.